bring the thought that the Lord has given me for the evening hour. I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles again to 1 Thessalonians, please, in chapter number 3. 1 Thessalonians and chapter number 3 again tonight. And I want to read verse number 11 and read the rest of the chapter. Where the Bible said, "Now God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you. To the end He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints." Now may the Lord add His blessing to that reading of Scripture tonight. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful tonight for the privilege that we have to be in the Lord's house. I thank You, Lord, for Thy Word that's been a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I thank You, Lord, for the many times that it's brought comfort and grace to my heart and corrected me, Lord, when I went astray and chastened me, Lord, when I disobeyed God. I thank You, Lord, for the privilege we have tonight of preaching this message, and I pray You'd make it a blessing to the people. I want to try to be a help, an encouragement, a comfort to their life, and I pray You'd help me tonight, bless me, that I might be a blessing. I pray You'd fill me with the Spirit of God. Anoint me, I pray, and give me liberty in the pulpit, and we'll thank You and praise You for saving sinners, and Lord, for the work You do in the hearts of Your people. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. I want to read verse number 12. I preached on last Sunday night out of verse 11 on the will of God. And I want to pick up in verse number 12 tonight. The Bible said there, "And the Lord make you increase and abound in love one toward another." The Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another. There is a power of God's love there as He makes us. There is the increase of God's love there as He makes us to increase and abound in love one toward another. And then He says and toward all men, even as we do toward you. I want to try to preach for a little while tonight on the thought of mutual love. Brother Paul made that statement there that we are to love one toward another and then toward all men. And I think that what he's saying here is that there should be a mutual love between those that are saved by the grace of God. As he closes this chapter in this epistle, he is still meditating upon the great virtue of love. And I cannot stress that enough. That the greatest of all Christian virtues is love, and because it is said in the Word of God that God is love. God's a God of judgment, but it does not say that God is judgment. God is a God of righteousness, and it speaks about God to our righteousness. But it does not say necessarily that God is righteousness, although that He is. But it does say that God is love. Therefore, love is the greatest virtue that he can possess, that he possesses, and it's the greatest virtue that can be possessed in the life of a child of God. It's a great virtue. And he focuses in on the mutual love that God's children have one toward another. And the purpose of that love, the purpose of this mutual love, is found in the following verse. Where he says, "To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God." I want to say that is God's ultimate purpose in you and I abounding in love one toward another. It almost leads me to believe that if we're not in love with our brother or sister in Christ, that we will never be unblameable before the Lord. And then he said, "Unblameable in holiness." You know, it is required of men that they be holy to go to heaven. It's not something that can be taken or assumed upon, but it must be. Without holiness, no man shall ever see the Lord. And so His purpose, or God's purpose in you and I, learning to love one another, cultivating that love, is that God may establish you and I unblameable in holiness before Him at the coming of the Lord Jesus. And I want to say without a shadow of a doubt, the Lord is coming. Hallelujah to God. And we need to realize that the more we are beloved, the more affection we are, the more affectionate we become. That is, the more we're loved by somebody, the more affectionate and the more loving we become ourselves. When you say amen to that, I believe I can prove that to you in this way. I sat down at our computer this morning, and I'd been studying some. I wanted to pick up my mail, and I picked it up, and there was just one little thing there. I erased it, and I got up. Miss Hall said, "Didn't you get a letter?" I said, "No, not this morning." She said, "Well, go back and try it again." So I went back and tried it again. She said, "How about it this time?" I said, "No, no letter this time." She said, "Try it again." So I tried it the third time. And lo and behold, there was a little letter. And in that letter, Miss Hall was telling me how much she loved me and cared for me. I'm being quite honest with you, it brought tears to my eyes and real joy in my heart. And it made me real affectionate toward her. To be beloved, that is to be loved by somebody, should cause you and I to be more affectionate, more loving, and more kind. And by the way, the only way that we can love is because God loved us. Now, I can tell you the rest of that story if you're interested in hearing it. After she finally got the letter to me, she said, "You know, you're not going to believe what I've done." And I said, "Well, shock me." And she said, "The letter you got, you know why you didn't get it on the first time?" And I said, "No." And she said, "Well, I just took the little thing from Stationary Heaven, and I wrote you a little letter under it and forwarded that on to you, I thought." She said, "But what I've done was sent that back to Stationary Heaven." So literally what she done was send a picture of me and her telling me how much she loves me to Stationary Heaven and telling somebody there how much she loves me. I'm glad, thank God, it had our picture there. Had it not had our picture, they may have thought Miss Hall was trying to get a little fresh with them, you know. But I'm glad it had our picture on that thing. Amen. But I'm just saying, ladies and gentlemen, that the more that you and I are beloved, the more affectionate that we ought to become. Now get a hold of this. God loves us. And the more we understand that we are beloved of the Lord, the more affectionate we ought to become. And the more that we're loved by our brothers in Christ and our sisters in the Lord, the more affectionate we ought to become. In other words, love begets love. Amen. Love begets love. And in loving one another, it ought to cause the whole body of Christ to increase and to abound more and more in love. In other words, loving somebody as much as you can is like pouring fertilizer on a plant. It'll make it grow. Loving them the way you ought to is like a water in a flower garden. It'll make them grow. Now, I'm telling you, when we love somebody else, it will make them also, and you alike, grow in this great thing called the love of God. Now, I know some of you big boys in here, you're just too big and bullified and to dwell much on this thing called love. You're rough and tough and hard to bluff. Amen, I understand that. But I'm still telling you, friend, that it takes somebody to love somebody. It takes a real man to be able to love somebody. It takes a man or a real woman to be able to love somebody that they know does not particularly care for them. Amen. Come on in the house, boys and girls. That's right. Love cannot be purchased. Love cannot be purchased. Now, I had to scribble something out here. Just bear with me a minute. But love begets love. It can't be purchased. You cannot buy the love of God. And I learned a long time ago, you cannot buy love from somebody else. If you want somebody to love you, love them. You're not going to gain love by buying gifts or giving things. Hey, those things may have their place in life. But I'm telling you, if you really want, but the motive behind that better be love. Amen. And love can't be bought. I'm telling you, you cannot buy the love of God. I believe there's people today that got the idea that if they'll get real good and do right and do good, they can buy the love of God. It's not for sale, ladies and gentlemen. God loves us because of grace. We don't have to be anybody. We don't have to have a lot of money, a lot of power. We don't have to have good looks like I have for God to love us. God just loves us because of grace. Amen. Now, I'm trying to be a little cute tonight because you're so low. And I'm trying to get your attention a little bit, trying to wake you up a little bit. I think all of you got the mully grubs. Well, I confess I've got a few of them myself, and I look out and half the church is AWOL. And some of them without leave. Absent, AWOL, without pardon, without leave. Boy, they're just not here. Amen. I tell you, I worry about people when they start missing church just to miss. I worry about somebody being right with God when they lay out just to lay out. I've examined my heart. Lord, is it my preaching? Am I dry? Am I dead? What's going on? And I've come to the conclusion we're living amongst a bunch of cold and complacent hearts. Amen. That you might as well say amen right there. That just don't want to be in the house of God. For the most part, a lot of folks come to church just out of duty in being here. And once again, I want to say, if we love the church and we find love at the church, we'll come to the church in order to find that love there. Amen. I know that's right. Now, if you want someone to love you, then show them your love. I think I can prove that in the Bible. 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sin. And verse number 11 says, God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. If God loved us, then we ought to love one another. And that's what Paul's saying here. Paul's saying, I want your love to increase and abound. And by the way, he had already thanked them one time for the abounding love they had one for another. That tells me, ladies and gentlemen, that you can't love too much. And that tells me that as spiritual as this church was, yet they had a problem in their life. They had not yet perfected that great virtue that Paul is referring to here. I want to say that ought to be the heartbeat of every preacher. I know preachers, come on, I've been guilty, that has tried to carry people to judgment every time they preach to show them their sin. Well, I believe the Holy Ghost will show people their sin. Preaching truth will reveal sin. I'm going to say, hey, that's not the ultimate goal. Come on in the house now. The ultimate goal of a man of God is to mature the believers and preach the gospel to the lost. And maturity is love, ladies and gentlemen. Don't tell me how spiritual you are if you've never learned how to love people. And I've been saved since 1970. And I'm just now learning how to love like I think you ought to learn. Oh, you ought to love people. Amen. You know what? I stood up here tonight and I scratched my head and I said, Lord, it'd be easy for me tonight to stand behind this pulpit and use this pulpit to browbeat the people that are here because I'm upset with some that ought to be here and they're not here. Let God deal with it. God will have to deal with it. Amen. It's beyond my dealing with. It's beyond my power. But as long as you're here, and you're here for the right reason, I'm going to do my best to help you if you want help. And if you don't want help, tell me and I'll go someplace where somebody does want help. Because I don't have time to waste time. I ain't got much left. I'm bumping right up there next to 3 score, Brother Robert. Had a fellow say the other day on the phone, said, "Preacher, you're almost 60. I said, "Hush your mouth." Praise God, I'm not ashamed of growing old. Hallelujah. Now listen very carefully. For 2 Corinthians 15:14, the Bible said, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." There is love begetting love. The Bible said, in plain words, the Bible said, hey, it's the love of Christ that keeps me going. And I love him because he loved me. And I love him because he died in my place and rose again for me and loved me enough to do that. Therefore, it's his love, begetting love, that makes me love the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you why Baptists don't have a love for him like they should. They've never seen his love for them. I'm satisfied 99% of Baptists don't have no understanding at all of the depths of the love of God. How that God loved this world. Look here. God loved the world and sent his only begotten or his only beloved Son. All of God's love is meted out in the Son of God. Aren't you glad the Son loved us? And God's love falls on you and I because of the Son. Hallelujah. Woo! For God, for Christ's sake, ladies and gentlemen, loves you and I tonight. Just like David, for Jonathan's sake, loved Mephibosheth. Wasn't the thing in that cripple that David loved. But David did love Jonathan and had a covenant with Jonathan, and it was for Jonathan's sake that David loved old Mephibosheth. As God's children, we have a charitable disposition of mind and due concern for the welfare of all men. That is, our disposition of our mind ought to be that we're concerned about everybody. That our mindset, our attitude ought to be that of loving people. Those that are down and out and those that are up and in and those that are in between ought to be loved by you and I. And by the way, there ought to be no big eyes and little U's in the house of God. We ought to love folks just because God loves them, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, we're bad about that as humans. We love people because of certain personality traits that they have. And our love reaches out more to folks that we cater to than it does to folks that we don't cater to a little bit. Well, they're not right in the groove. They're not in the clique. I'm going to cover that in just a short order. So hang on, okay? Just hang on. Love is of God and is a fulfilling of the gospel as well as the law. Romans 13:10, the Bible said, "Love worketh no ill to his neighbor." Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Do you know how Christ fulfilled the law of God? He loved you and I. I'm telling you, if it had been possible for us on our own to love fallen humanity the way Christ did, it and never had to die, ladies and gentlemen. But he fulfilled the law. And it's also a fulfilling of the gospel. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Hey, it's two ways there. We love folks because it is the fulfilling of the law and because it is the duty of the gospel that we live under. Amen. To love others as well. Come on in the house now. Christ fulfilled the law for us. Mutual love is not a suggestion. It is a requirement. I said that on Sunday morning. If you do not love your brother whom you have seen, how can you love God whom you've never seen? You can't. You can't. And it's not a suggestion. A lot of folks got the idea that being filled with the Holy Ghost is just a take it or leave it type thing. Oh, no. God said, be not drunk with wine, whereas he says, be filled with the Spirit. That is a commandment, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm going to tell you something, loving our brothers and sisters is not a suggestion. God didn't say, here's something I want to suggest. If you do it, you'll get along a lot better. God said, here is something that I command you to do. Somebody said, where do you have scripture for that? I'm getting ready to give it to you. 1 Peter 1:22, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Not unfeigned. You know what feigned love is? Hypocritical. There's a whole lot of hypocritical love. You know what we got? We got a whole lot of Joabs that pretend like they love a Mason, grab him by the beard and kiss him on the cheek, and at the same time they're putting a knife under his fifth rib. God help us in that. Not to have hypocritical love, not to be two-faced, not to love somebody to their face and despise them and talk about them like they're a dog behind their neck. Amen. I want to mention four signs of mutual love, and I'm done. I want to say number one ought to be a forgiving spirit. If we love one another, we will be ready to forgive one another. Notice, and I've read this to you so many times, Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another. Kind? Some folks here tonight don't even know what the word kind means. They ignore you when you speak to them. They draw back from you when you try to talk to them. They shun you. Stay away. Come on in the house, children. Don't even, and you talk about being safe and don't even know how to show a little kindness to somebody. Hey, I'm going to tell you, if you cannot convince me of your love for God, you're certainly not going to convince God of your love for Him. Amen. Be you kind one to another. Tender-hearted. Woo! Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now that starts with somebody said, preacher, we're supposed to have a forgiving spirit. Where do we forgive? We start in the same place God started with us. As God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. What did God forgive you of? I'm going to tell you, all of your trespasses against Him. Every time you stepped over the line against God, every time you offended God, every time, ladies and gentlemen, you said something contrary to the will of God, He forgave you for it. Amen. For Christ's sake. Yes, and a forgiving spirit begins with forgiving their trespasses. That model prayer in Matthew 6:15. Get a hold of this. I've had people to say, well, I prayed and asked God to forgive me and just don't seem like God forgive me. Maybe you've got a grudge in your heart. That model prayer, and it is the model prayer. It's not the Lord's prayer. It's a model prayer in Matthew 6 and verse 15. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I didn't write that. But our Lord told me, and He was God, told us in the Bible, if we're not willing to forgive our brothers of their offense toward us, then God will not forgive you and I. You might as well not get on your knees. Don't bother to take God's time. If there's animosity in your heart toward a brother or a sister, stay off the altar. Don't ask God for forgiveness. You'll never get it. There are some things God will not forgive for. I didn't say there was something He wouldn't forgive. There's things He will not forgive for. And one of those is not forgiving your brother. I'm talking about fully forgiving them. I'm not talking about putting on as Brother Griffith says, a facade. I'm not talking about somebody coming and saying, I said this or done this, I want you to forgive me. Oh, yes, I do. And then 2 weeks later, you're talking to somebody behind their back about it. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about burying it. I'm talking about burying the hatchet. Might need to be a little hatchet burying around here. Might need some folks around here need to go to somebody. Somebody said, oh, we've been through all that before. Yeah, we're human and sin keeps cropping up. Yes, might need to have a little of that take place around here. Well, what kind of trespasses, preacher? I'm glad somebody asked. Such as tale bearing. Can you forgive somebody for telling lies on you? They lied on the Lord. They lied on David. They lied on Paul.
Now, I'm going to tell you, if the devil was capable of crocking up a lie on this, don't you think for one minute he's not able to influence the flesh, even of God's people, that they'll crop up and carry tales about you?
But I've had them to carry them about me. And I know they will. Can you forgive somebody for that? If you really found out somebody in this church was a tattletale, hanging on a bull's tail, could you forgive that person? I'm talking about really putting it behind your back and going on in love and love, and not just forgiving them. You've got to forgive them enough to love them.
Oh, you don't know what somebody said, no, Brother Hall. It makes no difference. I could care less what they said. I've been called everything but a white man.
Brother Larry Wells got up in a meeting down at Don Anderson and said, Gary Hall, I accuse you of being a white man. He said, now you've been accused of being everything. And I've been accused of a lot of things. But I'll guarantee if the truth was known to everybody in this room tonight, sometime or another, someone has heard a tale about you.
Right.
A fellow called me the other day and said, you know so-and-so preacher? Said he's got a television in his house. Said so-and-so preacher? Said he's got a family in his church shacking up. And they're shacking up, the girls come to church wearing breeches. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to call so-and-so preacher. And I'm going to ask so-and-so preacher if he's doing all that. And if he says, yeah, done. If he says, nay, I'm going to be a Christian. I'm going to get on the telephone and call that tail there and say, hey, I called this brother and he disagreed with everything you've got to say. Now, what you got to say about it? I'm tired of folks running their mouths about somebody just to run their mouths about somebody. Folks' mouths anymore remind me of, well, I won't say that. Make some of you mad. I was going to say a lot of these preachers' zippers, they can't keep them up. That's right, too. I never seen so much adulterating and mess going on in Baptist churches in my life. We wonder why we don't have the power of God on us. God help us. Tail-bearing, trespass. Can you forgive somebody for their temper or their temperament, their attitude, their disposition? Can you forgive somebody that blown up? A lot of people can't. You'd be amazed at the grudges they are. And Paul said, grudge not one another. Grudge not one another. I tell you, it is a sin to hold a grudge against somebody. Buddy, I'm telling you, I'm glad y'all laid this on my heart, or I'd be having a hard time. Y'all sitting there looking at me. Are y'all alive? Anybody in here got a blood pressure cuff and a pulse monitor? I'd like to take some pulses around through the crowd tonight. See if we got any thumping hearts beating hearts or thumping gizzards in here. Temper. You ever had anybody blow up on you? I mean, get irate. I'm talking about getting your face. I'm talking about getting your face in such a way you feel their spit and smell their rotten breath. Can you forgive them? Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. What about a tepid spirit? You forgive somebody? Somebody said, what do you mean tepid spirit? Lukewarm. Well now, oh so-and-so, they just give me the cold shoulder. Well, love the devil out of them. If you want to earn their love and their cold to you, love the devil out of them. If you've done nothing wrong, talk to them, tell them you love them. They'll have to either get right or die with that in their heart. And woe unto the man or woman that dies with something like that in their crow. It's like pouring hot coals on their head. Anybody cold to you in here? Give you the cold shoulder lately? Can you forgive them for that? I want to say secondly, mutual love, signs of mutual love, forgiving spirit. Second one, a forgiven spirit. Secondly, it's the second one is something like that. A friendly spirit. If you really love somebody, you'll be friendly to somebody. Stuck up people just hurt me. Don't they, you? I walked up to the bank one day, and there's a fellow standing there that used to go to this church. And I was standing next to him, and he looked over at me, and I said, "Hello, brother so-and-so," and he just dropped his head. He wouldn't even speak. I'm going to tell you, in my loving, kind spirit, I said, "God bless you, brother." But down in my heart, you sorry devil. Try to be kind to somebody and they ignore you. Don't want nothing to do with you. Are you listening? I'm talking about a friendly spirit. You know what the Bible said? Get this. The Bible said in James 2:23, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." Can you imagine that Abraham was God's friend? Now, come on in the house. We have got two very unequal structures here that are friendly toward one another. That's the point I'm getting ready to make. I'm talking about two people that are practically diametrically opposed to one another, and yet they are friends with one another. God said, "Abraham, you're sinful, but you're my friend. You're far from being God, but you're my friend. You're not altogether righteous, but you're my friend." Ooh. Abraham was not as holy, as righteous, or as perfect as God, and yet he was called his friend. Can you still be friends with somebody that don't seem to be quite as spiritual as you are? Can you be friends with somebody that probably just ain't as holy? They don't pray in church. They don't get involved, nothing in the church. Maybe they just ain't quite as holy. Do you have to have them on your level to be friends with you? Do they have to be like you? Wouldn't it be terrible if we was all a bunch of clones? What if everybody in the church was like me? You talking about a mess? I'd be butting heads with myself all the time. Now, if everybody in church was like my wife, I'd get along with you fine. But what if everybody was like everybody? That's the point I'm trying to make. Their personalities were different, yet they were friends. God called him a friend. Two entirely different personalities. I like to deer hunt. Some of you fellas don't like deer hunt. Some of y'all like to fish. I don't like to fish. Some of us like pocket knives. Some of us don't. Some of these Brother Robert, some of them digs ginseng. I wouldn't even know what it looked like. I'd look for something with sloped eyes. Sounds oriental to me. I wouldn't even know what to look for in ginseng. Some of you fellas in here are very quiet. I'm a loud mouth. I'm second cousin to Martha Ray, buddy. We're different. Are you listening to me tonight? I'm doing that intentionally. I've got to do something to get your... Hey, we're all different personalities. We're not alike, ladies and gentlemen. And neither was God like Abraham nor Abraham like God, but they were friends. Now, we've got mutual love because we're brethren. We'll love one another. God, and get this, God knew all about the faults of Abraham, and yet they were friends. Can you be a friend to somebody that you know everything about? I'm going to tell you what. I'm glad you don't know everything about me. But if you did, could you still be my friend? Sometimes I wonder how spiritual I am. If I knew everything about all of you, could I still be you? If I knew every thought you had. Well, I'm totally against smoking. And by the way, you fellas in here smoke, or women, they got a thing up there. It's free. They'll give you free patches and free consultation and everything else if you'll try to get unhooked. Give you the free patches and all of it. Try to get you off of them. Get up there and get on it.
Some of you in here, I know, smoke them like a freight train. But I'm going to tell you, hey, I still love you. I probably got a fault of my own that you see. If you can love me in my faults, I can love you in yours. Pray for me and I'll pray for you. Get a hold of that? Can you love somebody in spite of their faults? God did Abraham. Get this, real friendships are eternal. Don't nobody leave me now. I said they're eternal, ladies and gentlemen. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 7, art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of the land before the people Israel and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And it's not talking about the friends there. It's not the seed of Abraham. It's Abraham. Forever. God said, Abraham is my friend forever. That tells me that friendship is a strong bind, ladies and gentlemen, between people. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times. John 15:14, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Trying to hurry now. Number four, not only a forgiven spirit and a friendly spirit, but a faithful spirit. A faithful spirit. A talebearer, the Bible says, revealeth secrets. But he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. If we cannot be faithful to one another, who can we be faithful to? If you can't be faithful to a Christian brother or sister, I doubt it you men at work are faithful on the job. You probably try to sham out every opportunity you get. And I'm not necessarily opposed to unions, but I'm going to give you this. I'm going to tell you why unions are big and strong. It's because a lot of men want to use it for an opportunity to sham. They want to get by with some things that they couldn't get by with if it wasn't there. That's called cheating. That's called dishonesty. Come on in the house. Proverbs 27, verse 6 said, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. If you're friends, a friend can tell you your faults. It might hurt. That woman stuck that needle in that left arm yesterday and she said, She said, it keeps rolling around on me. Am I hurting you? I said, oh, it don't hurt much. You know what? That woman was doing that for my good. Are you here? Hey, sometimes things that hurt. The old timers had a saying about medicine. If it don't taste bad, it ain't no good. And they come out with all these newfangled cough syrups. I can still remember my dad said, I wouldn't have that stuff. I said, why? It don't taste bad. It means it's got to be bad to be good? Yes. I'm telling you, sometimes things hurt that are not for us. Open rebuke is better, ladies and gentlemen, than secret love. And the wounds of a friend, a faithful friend, are good for you. That is, if you'll take them with the right spirit and the right attitude. And you will if you have mutual love one for another. Proverbs 25:19, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. He's never there when you need him. That's a broken tooth. He's not there when you need it. And neither is an unfaithful friend or an unfaithful man. He'll be there when you need him. I'm going to mention this and I'm done. Fourth and final thing is a family spirit. In mutual love, we are as a family. I want you to hear what I'm getting ready to say. No cliques. No favorites. We're a family. You know when strife starts in the family? When brothers and sisters. When brothers and sisters form their little clique and they're opposed to one of the others. I'll never forget it. I could go to my cousin Dale's house and me and him get along fine. I could go to Ronnie's house. Me and Ronnie get along fine. But as sure as me and Ronnie and Dale got together, them birds was going to team up against me every time. And they were family. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, so it goes in the house of God. No cliques! We're family. No favorites. We're family. If we all cannot get along with one another, it's because there's no love there, or else not the right kind of love being there. You might as well write that down in your book and say amen. Because that's a fact. Now get this. We're all born of the same parents. We're all band together by the same Spirit. We're all branded with the same seal. We dine at the same table. We eat from the same menu. We live in the same house. We're going to the same place. We are chastened alike. We're cared for in the same manner. And we're all heirs of the same inheritance. We're a family. And we're going to heaven as a family. It talks about God's family in the Word of God. And if we got to love each other for an eternity, don't you think it would be good for us to love one another now? Paul said, hey, that I want you to love one another and increase in that love and abound in that love, just like I have loved you. I want you to love one another. And God wants us to love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Not that you're a great prayer warrior. Not that you've read through your Bible 25 times this year. Not that you even dress properly. But that you love one another. What about it? Any cold hearts or any animosity or any unforgiving spirit in here tonight? It's a good time to get it right, folks. We'll never go forward unless we do, if it's there. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for that admonition that you've given me tonight and throughout the day in preparing my heart to preach what you've laid there. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to love one another as the Bible has declared we should. Father, help us to love thee. Help us to love the Lord Jesus with all of our heart, mind, body, and soul. Help us to love our neighbors, ourselves. I'd ask you tonight, Lord, for someone here and they're lost. I pray you'd save them. There's someone here tonight, Lord, and they're not right with someone in the church. I pray you'd speak to their heart. Help us to get that thing right. That the church might go forward to thy honor and thy glory. But I do ask you to help those that's home tonight sick, those that's away from us. I pray you'll work in their hearts, Lord. Touch their bodies, those that are fevering, those that are sick, those that are just unable to be here, I pray for them. Those, Lord, that are not here because of a cold, calloused heart, I pray you'll work with them as well. In Jesus' name, amen. What's that page number, Brother Wayne? 155. 155, please, in your songbook. When they sang that tonight, if God spoke in your heart, you need to come to the altar tonight. It's open and available to you. Let's come right on while we sing. 150. Sing that second verse. On the second verse.
don't forget Sunday now. We'll be here Sunday morning at 2 o'clock. We'll be at the Veterans Center. And then on Sunday night, Brother Gray will be here preaching for us. Miss Hall will be leaving me and Miss Hall, not Miss Hall by herself. God forbid. Miss Hall and I will be leaving Monday morning early for Miller's Creek up in Wilbur, North Carolina. Shake hands with one another. We'll see you Sunday.